In our text today, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem during Passover. The city's crowded. Hopes are running high. People remember God's past deliverance, and they are longing for him to act again. Rome rules. Religious leaders are watching, and the atmosphere is full of something. And in that moment, Jesus comes in a way that can't be ignored, but it can be misunderstood. Matthew makes it clear that this is no accident. Jesus sends for a donkey and a colt on purpose. He is not being swept away by the excitement of the crowd. He's revealing what kind of king he is. Matthew ties the scene to prophecy because Jesus is fulfilling God's promise of a king who comes in humility and who comes in peace instead of force. The crowd's praise isn't wrong, but their expectations are mixed. They cry for salvation, yet many of them are still imagining power in the world's terms. It's what makes this passage so important for Palm Sunday. All the people say the right things about Jesus, but they don't yet understand the road he has chosen. He enters Jerusalem not to take power by violence, but to walk toward suffering for the sake of the world. This text invites us to look closely at Jesus and to ask ourselves what kind of Savior we truly want. So listen as I read, or read along with me in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gently and riding a donkey and on a colt, the foaling of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed the cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." You know, if you're in a crowd, sometimes you feel the excitement before you ever even really realize what it's about. You can almost hear it building. And that's what's happening here. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. The city is filled for Passover. People are carrying old hopes and fresh frustrations. They know what it is to live under someone else's power. They know what it is to long for God to act. So when Jesus comes near and people start spreading cloaks and branches on the road, that's coming from a deep longing. And honestly, who could blame them? They've heard the promises. You know, God has delivered his people before. They're hungry for a change. They're tired of Rome. They are tired of waiting. So when they begin to shout, Hosanna, they are not just being vested. They are asking for rescue. They are saying, save us now. Palm Sunday is full of joy, but it is the joy of people who need help. And that's what makes this scene so powerful. The crowd is not wrong to praise Jesus. Matthew does not mock their hope. Jesus is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the Son of David. He is the promised King. The problem is not that they want salvation. The problem is that many of them still misunderstand the shape the salvation will take. It's one of the sobering things, which by itself is not the same as surrender. It is possible to celebrate Jesus publicly while resisting the way he actually chooses to save. You can see that in the way that Jesus enters the city. He does not ride a war horse. He does not come with soldiers. He does not make an entrance designed to frighten Rome or flatter the crowd. He comes on a donkey. And that detail is not small. In fact, it is the point. Jesus is revealing himself as king, but he's also revealing the kind of king that he is. Now, if we are honest, this might be where the passage begins to press on us, because most of us do want our king when life feels unsettled. We want somebody strong enough to set things right. We want somebody who can deal with evil, fix what is broken, and put the world back in order. We want relief. We want justice. We want to know that if Jesus is king, then things will work out in ways that make sense to us. And there's nothing strange about the desire. The crowds want what crowds have always wanted. They want a savior they can recognize right away. They want a rescuer who looks powerful in the usual ways, a king who will win publicly, quickly, and clearly. But Jesus keeps refusing to be reduced to what people expect. He comes as the savior we need. Not the one we've been looking. What kind of savior do we really want? Do we want the Jesus who comes gently, who refuses violence, who walks toward suffering? Or do we want a Jesus reshaped in our image, louder, harsher, more interested in crushing than redeeming? The crowd feels familiar because we know how to do this too. We know how to praise Jesus and still misunderstand and our definition of victory. But Jesus is not going to be managed that way. He enters Jerusalem as he is. He does not become less gentle to seem stronger. He does not become more aggressive to seem effective. He does not negotiate his identity with the crowd. He remains the king who comes in humility, the Lord who rules through self-giving love. And that can be hard for us because we reward. Turns all of that upside down. He shows that true authority does not need spectacle. True strength does not need cruelty. True kingship does not need to wound in order to prove itself. In fact, there's great courage in the way Jesus enters this city. He's not riding toward comfort. He's riding toward betrayal, denial, mockery and the cross, and he knows it, and he comes anyway. Loved ones, that is not softness, that is holy strength to walk towards suffering and still choose. Love takes more power than lashing out ever will. To remain faithful when you could dominate, that is strength. To come gently when you possess all authority, that is strength. And this matters for us. It matters for the church. If this is our King, then his character has to shape ours. Gentleness cannot be treated like an optional trait for especially nice Christians. It is part of the character of Christ. It is part of holy strength. It is what happens when conviction is governed by love and power is submitted to God. And that doesn't mean passivity. Jesus isn't passive here. He is purposeful. He is obedient. He is walking straight toward the will of the Father. Gentleness is not the absence of courage. It is courage without cruelty. It is strength without self-exaltation. It is authority exercised for redemption rather than revenge. And some of us need that word today because we are tired. We're tired of anger. We're tired of fear. We're tired of living in a world where everything seems to demand outrage. Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus does not save the world by becoming more like the world. He saves the world by remaining holy in the middle of it. He comes gently. And that gentleness is not a weakness in the story. It is the very shape of redeeming love. There's a moment in this passage that stays with me. When Jesus enters Jerusalem, the whole city asks, "Who is this?" And that question hangs over the rest of the week. It hangs over the praise. It hangs over the conflict. And it still hangs over us. Who is this Jesus when he does not meet our expectations? Who is he when his way is slower than what we want? Gentler than we prefer? Costlier than we imagine? Is he still King then? Is he still worthy of our trust then? Palm Sunday invites us not just to wave branches, but to examine our hearts. It asks whether we are willing to follow a king who rides a donkey instead of a war horse, a king who chooses a cross instead of a sword, a king who comes not to destroy enemies, but to save sinners. And here's the grace in it. Jesus comes anyway. He comes to a crowd that partly understands and partly does not. He comes to disciples who still have much to learn. He comes to a city that will turn on him. He comes to people whose praise is mixed with confusion. He comes anyway. So as Lent gives way to Holy Week, maybe this is the invitation. Let Jesus be the King. He is. Let him unsettle our assumptions. Let him expose our hunger for control. Let him teach us that salvation is deeper than quick victories and louder answers. Let him show us the strength of gentleness. Because the King who comes gently is still the true King. And the road he rides is the road that leads not only to suffering, but to redemption. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us again in worship. Thank you for gently coming. Thank you for speaking truthfully and loving us completely. As we leave this space, keep us near to you. Let the story of this Holy Week sink deep into our hearts. Strip away what is false in us and strengthen what is faithful. Help us walk with you in humility, trust, and love. In your name we pray. Amen.